Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about a recommendation from Miku, Hell's Paradise, which was a pretty decent show. Initial thoughts for me. Rick, real quick, two words.
Love it.
There you go. All right. But before all that, and before we dive into it, we were talking about a friend of Rick's losing his entire Pokemon collection and cards and valuables. And then how if you're 4 years old, you shouldn't be watching shows that aren't meant for you. If you want to catch part of that wider conversation, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month, it'll get you access to that bonus content, or you can join us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast. When we do stream, we usually kind of send a nudge out, let everyone know when we're rolling, and would appreciate y'all coming and joining us on there. And if you want to help support us through other means, we do have affiliate links. And you also can go to our own shop, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And now on to the me and Brotatoes. Hell's Paradise came out in April 2023 and ran through July 2023. So it is new in relation to when this podcast is being recorded. It is 13 episodes long. Producer for it is Twin Engine. Studio for it is MAPPA. It's based off of a manga. The genres are action, adventure, fantasy, historical, and shonen. And it was a pretty good show. So in short, How can I summarize this? In short, our main character, Gabimaru, is sentenced to death. And you see at the very beginning, he's going through these series where they are attempting to execute him unsuccessfully, I might add.
Over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. And he's basically given a kind of a choice, like either take this offer or you will be killed, because there is someone actually there that can do it, that can kill him. And so his offer is go to this island, get the elixir of life, bring it back for the Shogun. And if so, he'll be pardoned and he'll be able to live basically scot-free. But when he gets to the island, it's actually quickly realized, that it's not as they seem, and it is hell, and a manner of speaking. And so this basically is kind of his journey along with, some of the people that he's, journeying with, Sagiri, Yuzuhara, and then you also learn about other characters as well. They're kind of supporting, but they give you background to them sometimes to its detriment. And they're just kind of trying to reach this end goal of the elixir of life, so that way they can leave. And that's it. That's literally the plot of the story. That's kind of, I got nothing else to really say on it. I mean,
all right. Well, what I thought was really interesting in here was the visuals, the fact that with every instance, someone always had a really sad story, and they were, the visuals of the memories were never as crisp and clean as the present. And the fights were really awesome. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. But more specifically on like the history of it, whenever someone was introduced, you weren't really given a backstory. We really didn't care until they become like more focused, more focal points. And everyone here seems to have a really strong drive to survive.
Yeah.
And everyone here has really twisted morals. And like, it's the main characters that we see in episode one is, for lack of a better way to put it, an immortal who for some reason doesn't quite want to die, but doesn't want to live either. And then
he's not who
the white haired guy.
He's not an immortal.
Okay. How can they kill him?
I mean, the fact that he's almost died quite a few times through the series, he almost had his head
just in episode one.
They almost cut his head off. I mean, like, they showed his neck bleeding,
but it didn't really.
Yeah, no, it did. Like, he had the cut on there. Like, he envisioned his head being cut off.
He wasn't there.
No, they showed it bleeding. Like, he knew he was bleeding. They showed it.
Oh, then something happened when I was watching it, because that didn't happen to me.
Because he envisioned his head chopped off, and then he realized it wasn't, and then the cut appeared on his neck.
I thought the cut was part of the hallucination.
No. Like, he sensed his own death. That's why he reacted that way. Like, he knew he was about to die. Like, a nice chunk of conflicts showed that he is a very mortal individual, and he was close to death quite a few times, or he has limitations, and he knows he has limitations.
I don't know, man. Like,
they showed him messed up. Specifically, they showed him beat up. Well,
I agree,
they showed him bleeding. Like he's not at no point ever did they make him look like he's immortal. They showed him like, oh, that's true. I am tensing up. I am doing what I can to survive. Like, and he even said like he would die if Sagiri went to cut his head off, because that's what they do. Like, he knew he would die.
True. I'll give you that. But what I was referring to, again, in
episode one. That was episode one.
They burned him at a stake, and he was like, oh, okay, that just sucks. He walked it off. They boiled him in oil.
Right.
The container broke. He was attempted to have an execution by beheading. It didn't happen because he ended up breaking the steel. They tried stabbing him. They tried burning him. They tried doing all these things, which is why I said that he was basically immortal.
Right. And it's because
they had one lady there who had the ability to potentially chop his head off.
Not potentially.
Scared him enough to work.
Could. She
could. Scared him enough. Well, I say potentially because it didn't happen.
True.
And you had the ability, or the ability to see him go, oh, she can actually kill me. Now I want a reason to live. Because before he realized that she was going to be the executioner, he was telling her his life story, and she was recording it down for some reason. I don't quite know the exact reason why, what the purpose of that was. But she was like, I'm just doing some research. You can research it by just listening. You don't have to write it all down and record it.
She's making notes about his personality to understand him before she offered him that pardon. She wanted to see if there would, because she even said, it's like, you will likely die, and you have to have a very strong will to want to live.
Mm.
And she was making notes about the whole thing.
And then she was like, you can use ninjutsu, or what was ninjutsu? Was it?
Yeah.
Ninjutsu. Yeah. Not ninjutsu, ninjutsu. And, he was like, yeah, I really don't want to show you right now. And then when she gave him that flicker of hope to see his wife again, to see something happen again. And he's like, oh, well, you want to see it? Check this out. And he ends up just absolutely going ape on everyone there. And
yeah,
that the introduction to that just made me go, this is going to be good. The fight scenes here, he went from not caring to kind of sort of giving his aid, if you will. And it just overpowered everybody. It was awesome. And that was, in my mind, the opener to the whole show. And I thought that was really artistically and well done.
No, I'm not gonna disagree with you on that. It is true. Like, it was very artistically done. The artwork in this in general was very well done. They definitely did not skimp on the details. They showed the details and the finer points of everything that was going on. Every character had a very unique look or feel to them in the series. It didn't feel like they skimped on anything, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, especially for the amount of information that they had to cram in here for it too.
Yeah. It felt very busy though, didn't it?
It did.
Like I was happy with how it turned out, but each episode you had to pay attention. It was not something you could watch at double speed or something like that. You had to actually focus, because a lot of the things that they figuratively point to and explain about is something you have to see.
Right.
And the enemies they go through, they're horrific, straight up horror style beasts if you were ever to encounter them in person. And I loved every second of that.
Yeah, no, it was definitely good. It was solid. It was a great anime. The one thing that I didn't like about this was the needless. Like, I get why they were doing the backstories for it. Like, I genuinely do get it. I felt like it was needless.
Too much. Like too many main, main characters, or
it's not that there were too many main characters. I just felt like it was kind of pointless. Welcome to the chat. Two cool dudes, asks, should I finish it or wait? They're on, episode 6. Honestly, personally, having finished it myself, season 1 myself, I would wait for season. If you're halfway done, finish it up. If you haven't started it, wait for season 2.
Yeah. I follow that. If you stay here, we will kind of spoil some stuff. Just be aware. But that being said, yeah, if you're already halfway there, go for it. If you haven't started it yet, put it on the back burner when and if season 2 comes out.
Exactly.
Because if it doesn't, this is a huge letdown. But going back, the thing, I agree the backstories were excessive. I wish that they didn't have so many what I would consider to be main characters, because a lot of people die. A lot of people die in here.
Oh yeah.
And the way that they kind of bring it out is, for lack of a better way to put it, nonchalant. Like in this particular anime, it's people die and, you know, I kill people. It's fine. Is what it is. This is just part of life. This is, you know, they're a big proponent of might makes right. And that rules and laws are not inherently correct, but that's because they change to whoever's in charge.
Well,
if someone's in charge.
Here's the thing though, the constant deaths, the amount of deaths are why I felt like the backstories were pointless. In some instances, we were given a backstory, and in that same episode, after you just finished telling me the life story of this character, they were killed off. Like that was wasted time that you could have been building on main characters. That's wasted time, literally wasted screen time that could have been spent on other more important, still there characters. Instead, you're talking to me about like the backstory or the background of that one guy who's super massive, can't be stabbed. They have a hard time killing him. But they're able to finally do it. And at the exact same time, you're then telling me about his backstory. You're saying,
you're making me feel bad about it.
You're like, hey, I'm going to now have you invest your time about the backstory. Now we're going to kill him off. Enjoy. It's like, but yeah, what? Okay. Kind of. I mean, like, I get it. I mean, they could, I get it. I do. I feel like they were trying to show, one, the limitations, two, they were trying to do it through character growth for Sagiri. I get it. I also understand, like, they're trying to show a more intimate or different side of how she is, right? So you better have a better understanding of how she is. But at the same time, I don't need to know the dude's life story. You literally are about to kill him off. Why would I care about his life story?
I mean, I agree with you. I was going to say that was about 8 or 9 minutes that you didn't need, that could have been placed other locations.
Yeah.
Or for a different story. But yeah, they.
I mean, like, if you're going to give me.
They make you feel bad.
Yeah. if you're going to tell me the life story of everyone that's going to this island, give me the life story at the beginning. Tell me, it's like, hey, yeah, this is so-so. And then at the beginning, and then you have like a few episodes into it, then you kill them off. It's like, cool. But don't sit there, build up the expectation that they may potentially be an ally or that they could be someone that's there for them or something like that, just to kill them off that episode. That's something I didn't like.
I just realized something that maybe might change your opinion on that. Well, no, it's not going to change it, but it might enhance it. Everyone we got to see their backstory, are we taking that as honest truth rather than being told about their backstory? Because that's the only difference I can see between, for instance, Big Baby and the Kunoichi, the female that uses poison.
Yuzuha? Yeah. Riha? Yeah, well, the thing is, you don't know her real backstory. You know, she's also a ninja. Gabimaru knows it. No, like, Gabimaru even called her out. And it's like, why are you sitting there?
Dude, but that's my point.
Lying about it. But here's the thing. She's the only one that actively talked about her backstory. Everyone else, you didn't really hear about their backstory, or they were arrested because of their backstory.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, not them telling their backstory. It's you just being told their backstory.
We were only told two backstories. The first one was our main character. We didn't actually see it. We saw the arrest, yes, we saw, but he was telling
his history. What I'm saying is, we know about Aza, the blonde haired dude. We know his backstory. We know about Shion, the blind guy's backstory. We know. Mm-hmm.
We saw that. We saw the other one.
Right. Yeah. We know a little bit about Fuchi and his backstory. We were told Tenza's backstory, the blonde dude with the headband and the two X's, and then he was immediately killed off after they'd finished telling his backstory. You were told about Tamiya, the sword dude, his backstory and why he was arrested during that time, why he was arrested and his backstory. You were told about their backstories or actively told about their backstories in passing. So it's not that you were only told a couple of people. You were actively told backstories. And then they're like, all right, cool. This person's killed off now.
So my point is the difference between seeing their backstory, having it visualized and being just told without greater depth. I think that might be the difference between what is a lie and what's not.
Well, we were shown everyone's backstory with including the one that was a lie. The one that was a lie was just crudely drawn.
Okay. All right. Maybe that takes my idea out the water. I'm just thinking because the twist, but it's not really a twist. But like the confusion for me near the end of it is just, I'm trying to figure out if they
we'll get to that,
showed it previously, like if they alluded to it,
right? We'll get, so like, so in general, right, in general, the one of the things for the character is they're learning about the island, and you learn that this island isn't entirely natural. It's basically a giant science experiment for one guy in particular, who then ends up, I guess, kind of splitting himself up into multiple, that then they're able to transform on top of that, and the elixir of life, and then you know, like, all revolving around everyone trying to get the elixir of life type thing. So it's, I don't know, like, that's the one thing that I kind of found confusing personally, and maybe you might know, is was it one guy that then just split himself up into multiple people?
Kind of.
Okay. That's what I gathered from it.
The way that I understand it was that where they're currently at is an island that is kind of lost to civilization on purpose. And there were monks there who became enlightened, and they had a superior to them who was guiding them.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the backstory for it, but then you find out that's not really the case. Like, that's not the truth of it.
I'm getting there. I promise it'll make sense. No, it's not going to make sense. But
you worry me when you say, "I promise it'll make sense." You and I both know that half the time you just start going off on a tangent of the possibilities of. No, I don't want. I just want answers. I just want answers, Rick. I don't. So,
from what I can gather,
okay.
From what the anime has said,
Okay.
It was one person individually. It was a singular person who was able to go about and learn. Let's call them jutsus, or let's call them like philosophies. He was able to hone his craft to the utmost, and it ended up splitting his brain into different personalities. And he was able to, just through practice, split his body into different sections.
Okay.
But the thing that I don't get is there's a little girl in this anime that you find on the island who's part of them, but not. She's a failure. So maybe I'm thinking it's a cloning section where he's able, the main guy ended up being cloned himself and threw his psyche into other things, and that he will eventually reabsorb for one greater unit. I don't understand why, but that's kind of where I got it from it.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll take your word on that. Cause I honestly got no idea like what the hell is going on with it. Majority of the time for them anyways, but whatever.
Yeah. It's a confusing anime. I'll give you that, but it's it's Dragon Ball Z with lore. Because Dragon Ball Z is just a simple fighting anime, and with very little story behind it. And when you do have story, it's convenient. Here, they're just pushing from one fight to another, and it doesn't really make too much sense in the end. You know what I mean? Because I would say they're not immortals because we see them die, but they call themselves immortals. So they call themselves the gods, and they're the Tao or something like that.
Tenzin.
And they end up taking people and turning them into an elixir of some kind.
Right. Well, they don't call themselves God. They are the closest thing to it. It's the other inhabitants that view them as such. And then same thing they were talking about is like, oh, we are souls maybe chosen or this and that. And Tenzin like tells them that's not the case. You're kind of, and the gateway, you're just an experiment and you're just going to turn into a tree anyways. So there you go, is what he basically tells them. And
that's where I get the idea that maybe they're clones because they're all experiments.
Well, like they everything said on that.
There is an experiment.
Yeah. Well, again, a lot of them, I don't think they're clones, but they are creations, and just how they are made is another story entirely, because they don't delve into how they're made. You just know that they're made, and there are certain levels that are made.
And they're both men and women at the same time.
For the Tenzin, yes. For everything else, no.
No.
And those are the ones that I'm talking about. They're created, and then you have like a certain level of intelligence for them, and then you have some that are above that have a level of intelligence, and then you have the Tenzin, which can be male and female, and they talk about why they can do that, why it's important for them to be able to literally physically change their bodies like that at a moment's notice. Even in the middle of conflict or discussion, they'll change. And when they're pushed to a certain point, both bodies take physical manifestation. And then you are then told the reasoning behind it, as well as the significance behind it. Right. Or you're not necessarily told the significance behind it, but you're able to understand the significance behind it simply because at that point, you learn about Tao, and it's like, and they go, well, it's called Ki, or it's called this, or it's called that. And it takes years of training and this and that, and pick your flavor. Yeah, it goes by
many different names.
Yeah. There's a lot of different names that it's known by. And you learn about the different effects that using it can have on you. And this is why I wanted to kind of like stay off of the past a little bit for Gabimaru, because he does, you do see flashbacks, you do see things revolving in his past all the way through. And one of the effects for using Tao, one, use your life force, one, use your energy so you can become tired. You know, there are side effects. And another one is memory. It affects your memory.
Like it releases it, or
it wipes it out. Uses it as a fuel, I would assume, because if you remember, spoiler, at the end, when you see Gabimaru and Maya, is looking at him, his head in terms of the Tao, where the Tao is resonating from the mm-hmm. nose up, gone. And yep. he doesn't remember his wife anymore.
Well, and that's why I was asking that. That's why I was trying to allude
to. Or why he's on the island.
Exactly. He doesn't remember any of it. He just remembers that he is a killing machine. So my thought process was, we only heard about his history and we saw flashes, but we didn't really see what's going on. And the
well, we were told his history in depth and he keeps reliving it. But then you're also told it's not that it's a lie for him. For him, it's the truth throughout. The thing is that Yuzu specifically states that
there's some doubt in it.
Not to him, but says
no, not to him,
but to Sagiri. Sorry, says that some clans or some what they do is they use a genjutsu on them or a hypnotize on them to basically make them feel like the impossible is possible for so-and-so. So like for Gabimaru's master, he supposedly is immortal because he was indoctrinated or hypnotized when he was younger to believe this. And it's the exact same thing for this wife. Like she actually doesn't exist. And
yeah,
you're kind of like led to believe that because if you remember at the beginning, she says, your wife hasn't been seen since you were arrested. Like she has closed herself up. Basically, it's like he closed up the building and then he took off.
So my thought process on that, the reason why he doesn't remember anything is he was placed under a genjutsu, not necessarily to get his mission was not to betray or get betrayed. His mission was to get captured and bring the elixir back to the head chief. This is my theory. And the when he started using Tao,
he doesn't remember it all the way through. One, and instead, the second his memory's wiped, he doesn't know why he's on the island. He's just trying to figure out what to do and how to get off, not bring the elixir back. So
that's what I was saying.
That would be counterintuitive because if he starts using Tao, his memory's going to be wiped. If his memory's not wiped, he still remembers his wife and he acts and moves and everything in as if she is there.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
Or not there, exists.
His entire mission, he was never supposed to lose that drive, lose that memory. His whole goal was to get back to his wife. And in order to do that, he had to get the elixir for whoever. Now, we already know that the clan that he was in had the ability to do many assassinations, super strong, all that stuff. I'm thinking, if my train of thought is correct, he was placed under a genjutsu to give him that drive so he didn't steal it for himself.
Well, the thing is he was given a drive and they told that he was more than likely placed under that to give him a drive so that way he wouldn't betray.
I don't remember him being told that.
I didn't say he was. It was something that...
Sorry, I thought you just said that.
No, I'm saying that's what Yuzu said.
It's possible, and it throws doubt into my mind.
Because Yuzu said that to Sagiri, saying like that they are placed under a genjutsu to help give them motivation, because anger and hatred is not the only motivation. Love and something to fight for and something to never betray is a very powerful tool, and which lends credence to the possibility that his wife, Gabimaru's wife, is not real.
Yeah, and we already know that he's placed under a genjutsu, specifically because right before he died, he gets a flashback of the leader going, well, right before you die, you're going to do this, and don't worry about it because you don't have to worry. You don't have to learn it because I already implemented in your, it's an instinct now. What? It's going to happen so that if you end up dying, you're going to take out whoever killed you as well.
Oh, I got you. I know what you're talking about. It's like, and it's not that he implanted it into you. It's like your body will be trained to the point to where it's muscle reflex. So that way you take out as many enemies as possible. If you're about to die, you'll instinctively just start fighting on the rampage is what he said.
Oh, I understood it as he basically put a bomb inside of his head that right before he dies, it's going to go off. And it was implanted not necessarily without his knowledge, but he wouldn't have to learn it because it was knowledge that was forcefully placed in there.
No.
At the threshold of death.
No, because if that were the case, he would have been, he wouldn't have remembered anything after he had reached that point.
That's true too.
Which he remembered everything. And they spoke specifically about the Tau, and that's when he had the memory issue.
We started using Tau at the end, and he started learning and started.
Right. But that's when he had the memory issue.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to work my way. I'm trying to talk my way through it.
Reword your argument to suit you.
No. Talk my way through it.
Okay.
So he was when he was seen in the Tau form with all the white particles inside, he had his head. He had everything there. And then when he was seen after using it, his head portion was gone.
Yeah, that's what I said.
And yep, you're saying that the reason why it was gone is
because he used Tau.
In his use, he ended up using it like a fuel.
Yeah, because that's like what they said.
So much of it.
They.
No, I hear what you're saying, but
they specifically said.
Here's why I'm trying to walk it through my head. Everyone else is able to, like,
it affects not everyone else differently. You see, Sagiri expending her life force. That's why she was coughing up blood and becoming tattered as she was using it.
Mm.
That same thing. It was starting to hinder Blind Dude's abilities as well because he was using it.
I thought he was hindering his ability because he was losing so much blood.
That too. But it was it was causing him to not be able to heal, or it was doing more detriment to him. Like there are drawbacks on it. One of the drawbacks is memory. One of them is life force in general. And the other one is stamina and something else. So like there are different drawbacks. Gabimaru's just happens to be memory. Sagiri is health, life force. Her life force is being expended.
So do you think he's going to get it back in season two? Like his memory?
If there is a season two, I would think that there would be something that causes him to get his memory back. Yes.
Hmm. Yeah, because that shifts my whole thought process. Because I just assumed that the fact that he was missing the top half of his head wasn't the fact that he had used it. It was that whatever was placed there, like as a technique, was purified or removed, and now he has to fill that back up. But in doing so, it reverted him back to before, in my mind, the genjutsu was applied. So he doesn't really have a thought process. Similar to, Criminy. It's a movie, basically, where this guy agrees to do this project, and his memory's wiped after the project's done, so he can't steal the information and sell it to somebody else.
Mm.
I forget what that was called, but I figured something like this similar to here. Like, we're going to place a scenario in your head. You're going to complete this. When you come back, it's gone. And we can reset you. CJ said it was paycheck. But we can reset you and we can reuse you because all he is a tool. He is the best tool to his clan. And that would be an amazing way to keep your tool in pristine working condition. All of the wear and tear that he would suffer in each mission would basically be reset.
No, because he remembers every single mission and he knows what he can and can't do. I mean, that doesn't, like, that at no point would matter in here because that's not what they're doing.
And why would he revert back to before he was married?
You know, when you lose your memory, you choose when to lose it and how much you want to lose, obviously, because everyone,
convenient.
It's not that it's really convenient. It's that because they were saying that he's been married for quite a while. He only remembers that he does remember X. He doesn't remember being kicked out. Doesn't remember being betrayed. He doesn't remember being married or anything like that. And he had been married for quite a while with her. Okay. The thing is I don't think it's that he doesn't remember being married. I think what ended up happening was, one, he lost his memory, and because he lost his memory, that part of the manipulation, the genjutsu, is gone. And so when he remembers everything again, he'll remember that it's not real. Like, she was never really there.
But what if she was? Because you're arguing that she was real. He just forgot about it.
Well, if she was real and he just forgot about it, when he regains his memory, like I was saying, he will obviously remember her. Now, won't he?
But if he wasn't, if it wasn't real, then he wouldn't regain the memories.
If it wasn't real, no, he'll remember the time, but he will just remember a more clarifying point, like him walking in, not actually seeing her, him like taking a bath and her not actually washing his back. Like he'll have a clarity of the of what really went on there is what I'm saying. So if,
I mean, I get what you're saying. It makes a weird kind of sense that if she's not real and he gets the memory back, he'll just remember him doing stuff to somebody who's not physically there, dropping dishes, holding a non-existent hand. Well, having somebody wash his back that isn't
which
there.
Has happened in like other movies and shows before too.
Yeah.
I mean, just didn't see it coming from Fight this Club one. Is another one. I mean, like you, if Fight you want to go that route, I mean, like to help dude. You kind of bring it to realism. Well, yeah, exactly. CJ even says Fight Club.
Fight Club.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, like, you know, there you go. Hands. They show him handing a beer off to Brad Pitt and it drops and hits the ground and it breaks him fighting himself. Everything like it's not out of the realm of possibility of that being it.
I just didn't see it happening here.
And that doesn't mean it ain't going to happen.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean it's going to happen either.
That's true. But I'm just saying that's my plausibilities are I feel a just lot more like grounded in what may happen than yours. Grounded. Just saying.
Yeah. Let's also ground in an area where a dude can self-ignite at a whim.
I never said anything about real world logic.
I mean, it sounded like you were saying your stuff is more grounded.
Yeah, grounded in the possibility of it happening in the anime. I didn't say anything about realism.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah, I know we're focusing a lot on the wills and the won'ts, specifically in the last section, but it's such a damn...
It's like, a good show. It's a great... It's worth the watch... If you 100%. Already started it.
Yeah.
If you already started it, it's worth the watch. Just continue on your journey and move
what
forward.
What I will say is I know for a fact that there's material on this show that exceeds the anime.
You mean like and everything else?
Oh, you say there? That, but there have been many, many things that we've watched that has no source material.
Rick. Let me impart mm-hmm. onto you. When I majority of the shows that we watch, majority
you said every show?
No. Majority of the shows that we watch. Every anime has some kind of source material, whether it be an original source material or based off of a manga or based off of a manhwa or something like that, but a majority of the anime out there all have some kind of source material that you can reference, look up, and read. In fact, a lot of those originals, even, I would say a nice, I would probably venture and be lofty in my estimation, say 75% of them have had material created to help supplement even that.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but here I just felt like, so I looked it up a little bit more. I feel like they have the anime that would let you, it feeds in like Attack on Titan originally did, where they got an amazing first season. Like, oh, you want more? Go read my book.
They are also wrapping that up. So you can't say
now
that.
They are. Yeah. But back in the day,
also,
when it was there.
You can say that about a lot of anime that are out there that are exactly the same. It's like, oh, you like the anime? Well, go watch the, you know, go read the book. Maybe we'll do a season two. It's like, that's like almost every anime. There's almost every anime out there that does that. Unless it one closes it or two, they close it. If they can't push another medium for it, you're kind of SOL.
That's true. But it's just one of those things that it is kind of, it's frustrating that they left it off like this because it is primed and ready. You know what I mean? I was expecting an immediate.
You mean to tell me
no game, no life? I get you, but
there's still. This is the only show that is primed for a season two that may or may not have. Rick, I'm telling you, man. I mean, I just don't know, dude. I mean, like, I'll lose faith in the industry if this is the only anime that doesn't have a season two.
Oh, dear Lord. I can only pray. I almost want this more than I want No Game, No Life.
So
almost.
I mean, so to continue on our journey here, I feel like this is a good spot for us to wrap up, since, you know, at this point you're upsetting people by saying that you want this more than you want No Game, No Life. So I think we should end it now, before death threats are issued. All right. So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
I would rate this a 9. The animation style was refreshing. The storyline was very intriguing. I really liked the fact that it was a new take on killers, for lack of a better way to put it. I'm not a fan of everyone getting a backstory. You know what I mean? But yeah, I kind of liked it a lot.
I gotcha. All right. For me, I'm going to give it, I don't know. It's kind of hard. All right. So I think I'm going to, the animation was great. The music was solid for there when it needed to be. Drawbacks for it were the background when it didn't need to have background. Which I didn't like when they were doing that. The story, I feel like it was really short. So, and they cut it short by inputting those needless stories. So for me, I think I'm going to have to honestly go with a 7 for me, because, you know, obviously to help recap, the story was great. I just didn't need the background stories. The artwork was great. The music was good. It just felt like the story was really lacking, and I hate how open that ending was. They left it on such a pivotal point. Such a pinnacle point where you're given no answers at all whatsoever. So that's why I'm going with a 7.
Okay, I can appreciate that. I mean, you do like bookends.
I do like bookends. This wasn't even a soft bookend. This was
next time on.
And scene type of thing.
Yeah. Goodness.
All right. So next week we are going to be watching Classroom of the Elite season 1, which is a recommendation by CJ. Shocking, right?
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, when I appeared on his, podcast just this last time, he was giving me some flack for it. So, you know, I kind of honestly have to show a little bit of love for it. So, you know, that's why I'm doing it. All right. So we're going to watch Classroom of the Elite season 1, for next week's choice. So
if I ask how many seasons are out?
Two
seasons. Okay.
Yes. 2 seasons. I think season 2 is actually like one extra episode or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. So the reasons why CJ says we need to watch it is he thinks we'll like it. The mind games in it that happened in the show is one of the reasons why he wants us to watch it, why we need to watch it. So thank you, CJ, for the recommendation. We're going to go ahead and get it. If you want to hear the episode that I guest on with CJ and his wonderful wife, Anime Anonymous, I'll have a link for you all in the show notes for you. Go ahead and go check it out. We talk about action anime in general, just action, what we feel makes an action anime, some of our favorite action anime, things like that. Go check it out and show them some love. And as far for us, if you feel like we did something right, something wrong, gave this show too much justice, not enough justice, feel free to let us know. All our contact information and everything like that is available on featured animepodcast.com, where you can go and get links to everywhere you can listen to us, as well as give us ratings and things like that on all these other platforms. It'd be very much appreciated. If you want to, you know, help support us through other means, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. Dollar a month will get you access to bonus content, help us grow as well. It is very much appreciated. And if you want to help support us through other means, we have donation links for you. If you want to just help donate a little bit of moolah towards our direction and you don't care about anything else, or if you want to support us by buying some merch, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. Also, we have affiliate links for you in the show notes as well. And if you click on those links, it'll take you to Write Stuff Anime, purchase anything using that affiliate link. We do get a little bit of a kickback, and it is very much appreciated. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.